Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Innergex Renewable Energy's conference call and webcast for the second quarter 2015 results. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique des résultats du deuxième trimestre 2015 d'Innergex Énergies Renouvelables. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call and webcast is being recorded today, Thursday, August 6, 2015, at 10:00 A.M. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to Marie-José Prévec, Director, Communications and Sustainable Development. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here today with Mr. Michel Letellier, President and CEO of Innergex, and Mr. Jean Perron, Chief Financial Officer. Also joining us is Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment Officer. Please note that the presentations will be in English. However, you are welcome to address your questions either in French or English. Vous êtes les bienvenus à poser vos questions en français. I'd also like to point out that journalists are invited to call us afterwards if they wish to address any question. In a minute, Mr. Perron will provide some details on our financial results for the second quarter ended June 30, 2015. Mr. Letellier will then provide a mid-year review of our operating activities and outlook, and Mr. Trudel will present our recent financing activities. We will then open the Q&A session with all three senior executives. The financial statements and the MD&A have been filed on SEDAR and are readily accessible via the internet. You may also access the press release, financial statements, and the MD&A on the internet website in the investors section. During this presentation, we will refer to financial measures such as adjusted EBITDA, free cash flow, and payout ratio that are not recognized measures according to International Financial Reporting Standards, as they do not have a standardized meaning. Please be advised that this conference call and webcast will contain forward-looking information that reflects the corporation's expectations with respect to future results or developments. For explanations concerning the principal assumptions used by the corporation to derive this forward-looking information and the principal risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated, I invite you to consult the first pages of the company's MD&A as well as its annual information form. I now turn the conference to Mr. Perron.
Thank you, Marie-José. Good morning. The quarterly results for Q2 2015 are showing production that was at 93% of the long-term average of 971 GWh, due mainly to below-average water flows at the six 50% owned facilities of the Arizona-Williamson Partnership in British Columbia. This translates into 904 GWh of production compared with production of 899 GWh in Q2 2014. Production of the first 6 months of 2015 stands at under 3% of long-term average. Revenues for the quarter were $70.2 million compared with $69.6 million in 2014. Revenues for the first 6 months were under $27.9 million compared to under $7.2 million last year. The increase is due to above-average water flows in BC and higher wind regimes and to the acquisition of SM1 in June 2014. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter stood at $53.4 million compared to $53.8 million in Q2 2014. Adjusted EBITDA for year-to-date stood at $96.4 million compared to $79.1 million in 2014. The increase is mainly due to the higher production since the beginning of the year. Finance costs of $24.5 million for the quarter were similar to Q2 2014, while they stood at $41 million since the beginning of the year, down $3.2 million compared to last year due to the lower inflation compensation interest. During the quarter, a $24.7 million loss was realized on derivative financial instruments resulting from the settlement of the Big Silver Creek bond forwards contract upon closing of the under $97.2 million financing of the project. A similar $68 million loss was incurred in the previous quarter for the Boulder Creek and Upper Leadwood River upon closing of the $491.6 million financing of the projects. The realized loss are a result of decrease in benchmark interest rates since the date the bond forwards were entered into in late 2013 and the settlement dates. It will be compensated by lower respective weighted average interest rates of 4.71% and 4.36% for the 25 to 40 years term loans compared to higher interest rates set at the time of the hedges. These losses were funded with proceeds from the project financings. For the same reasons, further losses could be recognized upon closing the MU project financing in the coming months. The corporation recognized unrealized gains on derivative financial instruments of $43.1 million, due mainly to the reversal of the unrealized loss accrued upon settlement of the bond forward contract of Big Silver. Together with the settlements of the Boulder Creek and Upper Leadwood River bond forwards in Q1 2015, this resulted in a $55.1 million unrealized gain since the beginning of the year. Excluding the realized loss and unrealized gains or loss on derivatives and the related income taxes, net earnings would have reached $7.4 million for the quarter, compared with $8.5 million for Q2 2014, while it would have reached $13.6 million for the first 6 months, compared to a loss of $2.8 million in 2014. Overall, slightly below average second quarter, combined quarter, allowed us to achieve positive results since the beginning of the year. As a result, and combined with a very good fourth quarter in 2014, our trailing 12 months free cash flow ending on June 30, 2015, reached $85.7 million compared to $48.2 million for the same period ending in Q2 2014, and our payout ratio improved to 72% from 118%. Since the beginning of Q3 2015, our production has been somewhat on average at most facilities, at the exception of BC. We remain confident in our ability to reach our long-term average production year over year. This concludes my review of the results. I'll be happy to answer your question later on during the call, and I'll turn it back to Michel.
All right. Thank you, Jean. Good morning, everybody. Just a little bit of for people that can follow on the webcast, we are going to follow the presentation available on the website. The agenda is that we are going to recap the objective that we had put forward at the beginning of the year. Operating performance, project development, financing activities will be covered by Jean Trudel. I'll then come back with an outlook on our 2017 run rate and progress on the international expansion of the company, and then we'll follow with period questions. So, objective of performance, we had said that we would increase by 3 to 5% the revenue during 2015 compared to 2014. We will have a full contribution of SM1 hydro facility, the acquisition last year, and we would increase the adjusted EBITDA by 1%. What we did up to date is that we have actually had a 19% increase on the year-to-date production and 22% increase in the BDA. That is basically the contribution of SM1 for the 6 months that we didn't have in 2014. Production year-to-date for the 6 months stands at 103% of the long-term average. As Jean mentioned, all our facility across Canada is doing great, except for the Harrison LP, the six facility that are south east of BC that doesn't have any glacier, have had lower than long-term average, but the other one has been very good performance up to now. So we think we're still on track to achieve the full year. If you remember last year, BC had been slow during summertime, but then the fall was very, very wet, and we did catch up all the, the retard or the lack of production during early summer. So for us, quarter to quarter is difficult to call, but we're still very confident on the long-term average for the corporation. Objective for the development, we said that we would advance the four project under construction, Treasure Way, Upper Leadwood Boulder, Big Silver, and start the construction on the wind farm in Quebec, Messier-Gouxouxoun, where renewal of the Saint-Paulin and Windsor PPA, and we would begin commercial operation of Treasure Way. So I'm glad to report that the construction are advancing very well. We'll talk a little bit about the Upper Lillooet and Boulder fire. It's unfortunate, but as we describe it, we're very well covered with the insurance. We were also lucky to have most of our equipment and asset to be minor. There's no major losses on those assets, so we're still working on the insurance company and with the firefighter to come back on site. The firefighter are basically fighting the fire, still active. It's about 45% contained, so there's still a lot of smoke in the valley. So it's not yet safe for our people to come back to work, but things are improving. There's a little bit of rain in BC yesterday and tonight, so things are cooling down a little bit, but it's a little bit too early to call for the start of the construction on site. Very happy also to have started construction on Mesquite Gouchouxun in May. Things are going very well. We're getting very accustomed to build wind farm in Quebec, so don't see any issue of going forward and meet the COD next year. Contractual renewal process is pending with Hydro-Quebec. Hydro-Quebec is right now under an arbitrage system with three other smaller producer, independent producer in Quebec, so they're waiting the result to initiate the discussion with the other IPP. And we're on track to the commissioning of Tetawe in Q4. We have received the all the equipment are installed in the power plant. Water diversion into the waterway has been initiated yesterday. So things are going very well in Tetawe. So if you flip the page, the project under development, I just gave quite a bit of an update on Tetawe, Boulder Creek, and Upper Lillooet. Big Silver is going very well as well. We have finished the tunnel in the last quarter, so that's that is a big milestone in Big Silver. The water intake is almost finished. The diversion worked very well. So Big Silver is doing, I guess, very well in terms of civil work, and there's no issue in the timing. Mesquite Gouchouxun, I just mentioned that just a reminder, this COD date is with Hydro-Quebec is the 1st of December. That's a firm date in Hydro-Quebec. Again, the impact of the forest fire up Upper Lillooet and Boulder, I think it's important to reiterate that we have all the coverage insurance to have late start. So if we're late, the insurance would cover the interest costs or the lost revenue, and obviously all the assets are protected as well. So on that note, I'll let Jean update you on all our financing.
All right, thank you, Michel. So the next page, that would be page 9 on the presentation, what we had mentioned early in the year is to pursue financing activities, so therefore close the financing of Upper Lillooet, Boulder, Big Silver, and the MU project, and also to refinance the Umbara Falls project finance that we have. So I'm glad to report that we, well, as you've seen on March 17, we closed the Upper Lillooet and Boulder Creek financing. Then the Big Silver financing was closed just late June, June 22nd. We are now proceeding with the financing of the MU project. So we have signed an engagement letter and a term sheet, and we're in the process of putting the documentation in place to close this financing during the month of September. And as for Umbara, we refinanced Umbara Falls on March 30th, earlier this year. So everything is going according to plan. We actually were successful in putting financing that attractive conditions that were actually a bit more attractive than what we anticipated. The market was quite receptive to our financings, and so it provides us with additional flexibility in the future with these financings that are at a lower cost. On the next page, you see the amounts and the financing. It was a pretty significant program, and so we're close to ending that that leg of the work that we had to do. It's very important to note that with all these projects that we are building, there is actually no additional equity component that is required to complete all these projects. So the financing that we are putting in place will be sufficient, coupled with the use of revolving facility and the cash flow that we generate to complete all these projects. On the next page, just an update on the corporate finance activities. We issued, as you've seen, I suppose, $100 million of convertible debenture. Basically, the market was very favorable, very attractive coupon at 4.25%. We took the opportunity to issue this convert, taking the advantage, of course, of the low rates, but also in having in mind to potentially affect the redemption of the existing convert, and therefore to reduce potentially the dilution to our shareholders. So if we are not successful at redeeming the existing debenture in cash, well, it will provide us actually greater flexibility to conduct our development activities and our potential acquisitions. So Michel will talk about our international activities later on, and I think that would provide us with great flexibility to do this. And also the excess cash can also be used to buy back our shares. And coupled with that, I guess we also eliminated the discount on the DRIP program today. That's what we announced. I think the management doesn't feel that the share price actually should offer an additional discount under the DRIP. So it was a good thing to do to cancel the DRIP and also to potentially buy back shares if the situation remains. So on this, I guess I'll turn back to Michel.
Thank you, Jean. So all good news on the terms of financing. So 2017 run rate, I like that slide very much. Just a remind that this has been built and updated for taking into consideration the better financing that we had anticipated. Important to remember that this slide takes into consideration only the project that the company has, existing PPA, and have under development, as I mentioned, the 4 hydro facility in BC and the 1 wind facility in Quebec. So we reiterate the EBITDA target rate for 2017 without having into consideration any other future project in mind or future acquisition. It's only the existing project that we have. The EBITDA take into consideration about $8 million of prospective expenses. We always forecast those amounts, so the EBITDA is net of those expenses. We have showed or reported $180 million of EBITDA last year. We're forecasting for 2017, based on the long-term average, $295 million of EBITDA. So that's an increase of about 63% from 2014 up to 2017. And the good news is that we had given the guidelines of $95 million of free cash flow for 2017. Based on the good financing and better financing than we had anticipated, we have now a conservative forecast of $105 million for 2017, so that's $10 million more cash flow available in 2017. When we say free cash flow, our definition of free cash flow for us is important to remember that we take into the calculation the full reimbursement of our project finance, It's after the pref dividend and after $8 million of prospective project. So a good news for us in terms of availability of internal cash flow. The growth of growth opportunity after 2017 or even earlier, obviously we will we said that we would pursue greenfield development activities. We're getting prepared to submit project in the Ontario RFP. We have advanced also the Nuki Northwest of BC. We have an agreement now with the Saikus First Nation on a 50-50 partnership program joint venture, and the RFP in Ontario is due for the 1st of September. So we're getting very close to the date for submitting a project. We intend to have at least two very good projects. In Ontario, it's a little very competitive, as you know, so we're confident, but we're cautious into the optimism of winning projects in Ontario. Very busy, and it's not a big RFP. If you remember, it's about 300 megawatt of wind and 150 megawatt of solar. But there's another RFP in 2016 for roughly the same amount of power. Also, we said that we would go with external growth opportunity. We would pursue partnership, acquisition, development opportunity in Europe, in Latin America, and maybe looking for acquisition. We are focusing our international activities. We have been a little bit more focused on Europe, mainly France for wind and solar. Latin America is big, but we're now focusing more on Mexico. I've been a couple of times in Mexico, meeting with very promising future partners. The market in Mexico is very very dynamic. It's in right now a little bit in waiting for the new rules to free up the market, but the potential is great. So we we like what we have been seeing, and have been meeting with very interesting folks in Mexico. And obviously, we're looking into North America, as you know. Saskatchewan has said that they might come up with a new RFP for wind in the future. Alberta, with the new government, is talking about renewable energy as well. So still very open with Canada. And the U.S., obviously, is very, very active, but very competitive, as you know. So in summary, just wanted to make sure that people remember that we have a sustainable dividend. I think that given the profile of the portfolio that we have, just to remember that we have one of the longest duration on the existing PPA. We have more than 70% of our revenue coming from hydro, fairly new asset. Visible cash flow expansion with existing project with PPA, as we mentioned, a growth of internal growth with organic asset that we have already have for EBITDA about 63%, and for the cash flow 54% from 2014 up to 2017. We have also, obviously, the payout ratio, given the cash flow that we'll have, will go down. We have said that we have a target payout ratio of roughly 80%. Given the cash flow that that we have announced of $105 million of free cash flow, and given the amount of share outstanding, you can make the calculation that this target is easily reachable for us, and something else we have room there as well. So we will concentrate on capital deployment. We will have internal cash flow for us. That's something that's a new era for Innergex. As you know, since the merger in 2010 with the Income Trust, the payout ratio has been always an issue. But given the advancement of our project, this is behind us, so we can now focus a little bit more on the growth. So on that note, we'll be happy to answer the question. Thank you.
This completes our presentation. Thank you, Michel and Jean. And Jean, we now invite you to ask your questions. Nous vous invitons à poser vos questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you're using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Rupert Merer with National Bank. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Rupert.
I wanted to follow up with a few questions on your development plans, your growth plans. And you mentioned the Nolke Hills project. Can you talk a little about how that project might develop? Do you expect to enter direct negotiations with BC Hydro, for example? And how much longer do you think this project would be in development if it was to move successfully to construction?
Well, BC is a big question mark. It's a good question, Rupert. We don't know exactly how fast BC could come up with an RFP or to start direct negotiation with the First Nation joint venture project in the northwest of BC. But it's definitely a region where it's very sensitive in terms of, being positive toward bringing renewable energy to offset a little bit of the future CO2 emission from the LNG, if LNG is getting built. So it's very linked with the development of the LNG. So far in that area, there's Petronas and Shell that has propose and be, aggressively pursuing the development of LNG project. So it's a little bit of a catch 22 there. If LNG goes forward, I think that demand in that area will increase, and hence maybe more possibility will be done. We also have some good prospect in Fort Nelson area where a lot of the extraction are going to be happening. We've been monitoring wind for the last 8 or 9 years in that area, so there's potential as well in that area. But BC is, a little bit on a standby to see how much LNG project will be developed. And as you know, Site C is being built, and I think that more and more people are thinking that Site C is going to be a reality, even though there were a lot of pushback from First Nation and local community. I think that BC Hydro has succeeded in signing some of the First Nation that were against the project. So the odds of seeing Site C being built are greater now.
Great. And then on Ontario, what do you think is going to take to win in this RFP? Do you think the prices will be comparable to the last Quebec RFP? And do you have any particular strengths in your bid that will make it competitive?
I hate to talk about active bid, as you know, Rupert, but it will be competitive. But contrary to Quebec, Ontario has a system of point where depending on how much point you get, and those points are basically given the population if you have support of the land embankment around your project, both on wind and solar. So we've been concentrating on obtaining the maximum of points in the project that we'd like to submit. So this point is giving you a discount when you compare your price to the other. So prices are obviously sensitive, but if one has all the social acceptability points, then the project can be, even if the price submitted is a little bit higher, can win the project if the project gets all the points. Obviously, most of the developer are focused on that aspect of the bid as well, but we intend to have 100% of the points, so maybe those will help. In terms of a competitive price, Quebec is a little bit different. If you remember, Quebec is paying the interconnection, so the price is net of the interconnection, where in Ontario, the IPP has to pay for the interconnection. So wind, the prices of wind might be a little bit higher than in Quebec, and the wind in Ontario is a little bit less favorable than in Quebec, but in general, prices will be competitive. It's certainly below what we have seen in the FIT in the past. Solar will also be, I think this is in Ontario, it will be certainly below 20 cents, so a fair discount compared to the 42, 44 cents the FIT program was giving in the past.
Great. Well, thanks for the caller.
Your next question comes from the line of Nelson Ng with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Thanks, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nelson.
Just a quick question on the generation this quarter. Have you seen continued weakness in hydrology in BC? And what about wind? Have you seen continued strength into the second quarter? Sorry, the third quarter?
Yeah, we'll start with the positive. Quebec and Ontario are doing great, and they are for July they have been over the budget. BC, it's not a secret. BC is dry. Like Jean was mentioning, the worst affected plant are the plant that doesn't have glacier or very little glacier component into the hydrology. And that are the six Irisin hydro facility that we own 50%. The rest, Ashlew, Miller Creek, Fitzsimmons, Rutherford, have been doing fairly good so far. But obviously, August is also a little bit dry. So eventually, it will rain in BC, and the Irisin hydro facility, just like last fall, were overproducing. We had a tremendous quarter in with those plants last fall with the rain season. But again, quarter to quarter for us, I think that again the diversification across Canada, both in wind and hydro, has shown a great flexibility to be able to face specific dry condition in one part of the country.
Okay, thanks for that. So just a clarification, did you say Ontario and Quebec, both wind and hydro, were above budget in July?
Yeah, they were even over budget.
Okay, got it. And then my next question relates to, you mentioned the forest fire in Upper Lillooet. Like, when do you think you'll be able to have a detailed assessment of what the total impact would be and how much of that would be offset by insurance? And then just more on the construction schedule, how much flexibility was kind of built into the original construction schedule?
Yeah, that's a couple of components. We've been on site. The asset, apart from 2 or 3 kilometers of transmission line, have not been touched. It's really funny. We've been looking at the aerial photo and stuff like that. See the powerhouses, pensock layout, the intake, even a big crane at the intake of Boulder. The fire went all over or around, but didn't touch the big crane. So material is very limited. The camp has been also saved. The camp now is hosting about 85 firefighters. We're glad to see these guys occupying the camp. I think it's a mutual win-win because they have a better access to both Boulder Creek Fire and the Ilao fire from this camp. It's saving them about an hour and a half of travel morning and night. So the firefighter on site, and obviously protecting the camp if they're living in them. So that's a good news. They're very very dedicated fellow. It's a hard job. They're working hard. We were supposed to have some of our people being reintroduced this week on the construction, but we had a little bit of drawback because of this weekend was very dry and warm. But with the rain that we had yesterday and today, conditions are a little bit improving. So slowly we're getting back into the camp. To answer your question, how much, when are we going to be able to fully assess the timing? It's a little bit difficult to say. We definitely have insurance coverage on everything from, you know, delay start, delay construction to all our assets. The same thing with the contractor. The deductible for asset is about $150,000, so it's very it's not material compared to the side of the construction budget there. We have two deductible possible in terms of construction delay or startup delay. One, if we trigger from the first measure, is only 2 days of delay construction. If we go with natural disaster, fire, and what have you, is then 30 days waiting time. So the maximum impact to the company could be 30 days of delay start. And when we say that coverage, I mean they would cover all the interest costs, all the acceleration costs related to try to catch up on the construction. It's the equivalent of protecting your future revenue. So it's a very comprehensive insurance package. Expensive, but when you need it, it's very handy to have that. And you, the other component of your question was, did we have a little bit of a buffer? Well, we always had the winter of 2016 has buffer, so it's 2-3 months. We didn't had plan to work during winter because it's a little bit more expensive to clear out the road and what have you. But we had that as a buffer, so we had 3 to 4 months as a buffer. So we're just hoping that that buffer would be enough to catch up and still meet COD date in 2016. Might be late in 2016, but we're still confident that we can reach the COD by that time, given the fact that insurance might cover the acceleration cost to work during winter 2016. Does that cover your question? Nick?
Yeah, no, that was a lot of detail. That's good color. My next question relates to the four prospective projects with the First Nation groups. I guess from your perspective, is there one project that is kind of ahead of the other projects, or more advanced in terms of having a process and a more visible timeline?
We have ongoing discussion with the Inchuk First Nation and the government. The issue is with this government, they're very focused on not having any impact on the cost on electricity for the ratepayer. So it's, you know, we were very sympathetic to that. So we're trying to work the prices. We're trying to work the schedule to with them to try to meet their target with BC Hydro as well. So it's an ongoing discussion. It's positive. So when we're talking, we're still talking. That's positive. But we have a little bit of a challenge trying to make sure that we get to a point where everybody is satisfied. First Nation are very supportive, and government and BC Hydro are still engaged, so still positive, but a little bit of challenge to get into the schedule and prices.
I see. Okay. And then a quick question on the MU Wind project financing. I guess it's for Jean. But are you looking to also have a interest-only period similar to some of your hydro facilities, or is that option limited due to the shorter PPA period relative to hydros?
Yeah, of course it's limited because of the shorter period. And, you know, when you analyze the financing, and we've received actually a tremendously great amount of offers, we solicited many institutions, and we received very good term sheets. So when we analyze the terms and conditions, that's one of the aspects to analyze to see if it's a better or not a better transaction for us. And we look at the IRR of the project, the NPV, the cash-on-cash profile, to determine which is the best term sheet that we should sign up. So the one that we are working with is using a structure similar to the structure we've put in place with Upper Lillooet and Big Silver. So there's a dual tranche, if you want, in it, and it's going to be we're implementing it now. So you'll see all the details as it gets announced. But it's going to be a very favorable financing again. It's right now the market is very very hot from our standpoint. There's a lot of demand for our product, I guess, from the financial institutions, and so.
And I think Jean, that it goes also to the credit of the project. We've been fortunate to have had the ability to renegotiate the prices and the model of the turbine with Saint-Dion, so the cash flow of this project is very robust, so it helps also to have a very good financing condition.
That's totally right, Michel. So the debt service coverage ratio profile of the Micmac project is very high, so it provides a very good credit rating, so institutions are can be more aggressive when that's the case. So we're benefiting from that for sure.
Okay, got it. And then just one last question. You mentioned that the free cash flow guidance for 2017 is $105 million, and the increase was, I think, mainly due to having an interest-only period, I presume. I was just wondering, given that the free cash flow benefit was from having an interest-only period, like, can you comment in terms of targeting the 80% payout ratio profile, whether you'll be targeting a 2017 80% payout, or are you thinking about longer-term normalized full debt amortization 80% payout profile?
Well, that's very difficult. It's delicate. I don't want people thinking that post 2017 only 80% payout is sustainable. I think that 80% payout means that we would have a lot of room to increase the dividend. On that basis, I think that if we don't increase dividend, the payout ratio will be much lower than 80%. And it's not only because we interest-only period. I think that given the fact that we have also indexation in our PPA and what have you, the $105 million is sustainable going forward. It's not just a few years and then there's a drop. Whenever we're getting engaged in long-term forecasts and sustainability, I think hopefully by the time you have been following Innergex, we've been quite consistent in our longer view. So if we are giving guidance of $105 million, it's because it's sustainable.
Yeah, okay. And to add on this, when we establish a program of debt financing, we rarely put in consideration the possibility of having a delay in capital payment. So when it occurs, when it happens, it's just additional cash flow, it's just bonus. I think our target payout ratio is 80%, and it's been like this for a while now, even before we knew what were the terms and conditions of our financing in the end. So.
Yeah, and you know, we have a little bit of a corporate finance, as Jean has mentioned, but we have 13-14 power asset to support that debt, and all the rest we are fully amortizing it except for a $50 million balloon payment for our parallel within 40 years. So contrary to maybe some other player that does a little bit more project finance or bond, is that we are reimbursing the capital of those project finance in our long-term forecast for available cash flow.
Great. Thanks for the clarification. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ben Pham with BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Many of my questions have been asked, and so I just had one follow-up on the fire situation in BC, and you mentioned that there's a bit of rain over the last few days which has contained it, and I'm just wondering, just given that you have a pretty big portfolio in BC, is there any potential risk that fire could expand to some of your other facilities, or is it pretty much all contained at the moment?
The problem in BC is that it's dry all over the place. There's another fire that has started up south of Treadway. It's about 40 kilometers from Treadway. For the time being, it's not a threat for that particular asset. And the Yalo fire right now is north of Ashlew, but quite far north, and there's a glacier in between, so there's no big danger there. But obviously, it's BC is in a situation where there's a lot of potential fire, and people have to be very careful. The last fire that was lighting up not so far from Tetterwee was a human error. I don't know if it was a fire camp or a cigarette bomb that was thrown, but I think that BC government is doing a great job in trying to educate people that the fire danger is extreme. So who knows? There's many places in where fire can be started again in BC. Hopefully, towards September and rainy season should start, and that should be behind us. But for the time being, the fire danger is extreme.
And just to be clear, we have the same insurance package everywhere. So
if
it ever happens, we're well covered everywhere.
Definitely. It's not only on construction site. We have the insurance coverage, which is roughly the same package as described for all our operating asset. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. Thanks for an update, everybody.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the 1. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Ms. Privick, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. We appreciate this opportunity to provide an update on our company, and please don't hesitate to contact us if you have any other questions. Merci à tous. Nous apprécions cette occasion de faire une mise à jour de nos activités, et n'hésitez pas à communiquer avec nous si vous avez d'autres questions.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference call and webcast. Please note that a replay of the conference call and webcast will be available on the Innergex website. The press release, financial statements, and the management's discussion and analysis are also available on the Innergex website at www.innergex.com in the investors section. Thank you. You may now disconnect at this time.